Hi, I'm Tom Luna. I'm a former school board member. I was privileged to serve as senior advisor to U.S. Secretary of Education Rod Paige. I also had the honor of serving for 8 years as Idaho State Superintendent of Public Instruction. During that time, I also served as president of the Council of Chief State School Officers. One thing I have learned in all these experiences is that educating children is not rocket science. It's more complicated. On my podcast, Swimming Upstream, we will visit with courageous leaders who challenge the prevailing tide and inspire all of us to swim against the current. Let's jump in.
Welcome back to another episode of Swimming Upstream. I'm Tom Luna, your host, and folks, we're here at Excel in Ed for a second year, and we're having the opportunity to visit with a lot of education leaders from around the country. And right now we're going to visit with Senator David Lent from Idaho, chair of Senate Education Committee. And Dave, thanks for being on Swimming Upstream.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
I love these events. Always kind of open up my mind and experience. It also gives us opportunity, I think, for me to think deeply on some of these issues.
Yeah, you've been coming to Excel in Ed for many years. Did you come here as a school board member, and then when you were elected to the legislature, start coming, or when were your, what was your first exposure?
Well, I came here as a legislator the first time. I did, being an adult educator, kind of one of my background previous lives, always went to the Idaho School Boards Association meetings and trainings, and then also the national level went to them as well. So
yeah.
I really like these kind of events, so much to learn, especially the experts that they bring in.
Yeah, and you and I met when you were a school board member in Eastern Idaho, and then you ran for the legislature, and now here you are.
Yeah, many years ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Maybe not as much gray hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Senator, one of the things that you've focused on is the importance of, you know, a 21st century experience in education. And, you know, when we met in the early 2000s, we were talking about that. Now we're almost a quarter of a way into the 21st century. We're still talking about it. So share with us some of your thoughts about the need to modernize that high school experience.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of us had those. In fact, if you go back to even in the 80s with President Reagan and starting to envision the changes that we need to do based on our culture and our society. And as the world changed, and those of us who went through in the 80s, the first time I was at a nuclear facility, and I remember getting a computer on my desk thinking, this is big time.
Yeah.
In the 90s then,
like a Radio Shack, RS, whatever they called those, right?
We had the nice one. It was the IBM, and it had the big floppies, the big 5 1/4. We thought we were, like, right in the edge of technology. In the 90s, of course, we had the Internet came out. And then in the 2000s, it's smartphones.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. During that time, I was a training manager at a nuclear facility for many years, and we noticed this distinct change in our population. A lot of the processes that people had worked for many years, all of a sudden to them, became broken. And we were saying, well, you have worked this piece of paper and this form and this procedure for many years. And what had happened was, as technology has come into our lives, it literally has transformed the way we interact with our world.
Right.
And so although these workers were competent, they knew what to do, their expectations of how to interact with equipment and processes had actually changed. So just to that point, at the same time this occurred, we're moving as a even our world, so to speak, from this culture of the industrial ages that we've gone through, from a mindset of production to really a mindset of what rules today now is knowledge and data.
Yeah.
And are we educating our students? The big key here has some of our social standards, and education is one. Has that evolved as fast as our world has in meeting the needs? So another example is we hear people say, well, education's broke. Well, it's not broke. We just need to evolve it to meet the needs of today's society. So that's
so a couple
important
specifics. What are those things that need to evolve specifically?
Well,
I'm sure there's many, but just let's touch on a couple.
You and I grew up, and we graduated, 10, 15 years ago, probably?
About that, yeah.
I wish. In our day, our parents said things like, doesn't matter what you get a degree in, just go to college and get a degree.
Yeah.
And that should have been a warning signal to most of us that at some point that's going to be watered down, and a degree now becomes the new high school. I spent 40 years in the nuclear industry, business and industry training, and that mostly. So I really saw this develop into a point where if you didn't have a bachelor's degree, you didn't get an interview.
Yeah.
So what's happened is we have kind of gone down this path so far that we have really been asleep at the wheel when it comes to education. So what's exciting to me is we're starting to wake up. The pandemic was a disruptive change. We are starting to wake up and say, hey, we can rethink this whole process. I mentioned to you, I think I sent you a text from Finland. Got to go over there and look at their system. It really opened me up to a lot of things that we could be doing better to not only suit the needs of our students, but from a politician's point of view, represent the taxpayer in a more efficient and effective way.
Well, and some of those things that would come in front of your committee, since you're the chair of Senate Ed, are things like graduation requirements, right? They'll make their way through the state board, but eventually end up as a rule or whatever in front of your committee. And you mentioned earlier, before we got on the air, about our graduation requirements aligned with what students really need to know and be able to do to be successful after high school.
Absolutely. And here's some interesting numbers. In Idaho, where you and I are from, we have about, all in rough numbers, about 30%+ of our population graduates from college. In reality, we're told nowadays that about 60% of the jobs in the job market require something more than high school.
Yeah.
So we see this, and that's where we see business and industry and our employers coming to the education system saying, we need something more. People, the kids who are coming into the workforce just aren't ready. So we start thinking in terms of what does that mean? Well, it means let's go back and rethink high school graduation requirements. If all of our kids are not graduating from college and they're going a different route, let's start opening that up. And we're seeing across the country now states looking at backing off from a college curriculum, so to speak,
college prep curriculum. Yeah.
To like similar to what we see in other parts of the world. You know, you basically get your core functional literacy between, you know, K through 8.
Yeah.
And at that point, about 9, 10, 11, 12, you start then specializing and doing what you're going to do.
You're not tracked, right? I mean, nope. You have choices, but you can start specializing.
I was very impressed. I had always heard that, you know, you go to Europe, you're tracked.
Yeah.
You're going to take this test, that's
a non-starter in America, yeah, right? Yeah, you're not going to track kids, right?
But you go to Finland, and we went to 2 teacher colleges, several schools, every flow chart of their education system that they put up to show us, underneath the title of Finnish education system, had these words: no dead ends. And when you start looking at those flowcharts, it doesn't matter where the student is in the process, they've created a path for them to be independent and switch. So if you head off in the vocational world, you decide you want to go academic, there's a way for you to come over here. And they really promote that no dead ends concept, which now they're meeting both. They're being more effective in their use of education, and also they're providing the choice for students to be self-directed.
One of the things we talked to Debbie Critchfield, Superintendent Critchfield, about was the launch program. And obviously that made it way through your committee. It was not an easy lift. That's another story about the politics behind that and stuff and getting that done. But talk a little bit about launch and how that fits into kids being more successful after high school.
Well, again, let's go back to the paradigm that we have grown up in. Traditionally, states have put hundreds of millions of dollars into higher ed. But yet, at the end of the day, we see that only a small portion of our population actually benefits from that and graduates. So we're starting to see this paradigm shift from, are our education dollars better spent in providing those knowledge, skills, and abilities that relate to a living wage, more effective use of our taxpayer dollars. And I'm just excited to tell you that I think that vision is really starting to grow. I see it all across the country.
Yeah, it's long overdue, but to your point, it is exciting to see that it's finally getting some traction. And I think, again, the pandemic was an eye-opener, right? I don't think it created as many challenges in education as it exposed.
And to answer your question a little more about launch, in Idaho, we provided a way for students who graduate from high school, not all, but about half of our students will have access to $8,000 that can be essentially used towards high-demand careers.
Whichever
path that requires. So we think that'll benefit not only the students, but also grow our economy and those jobs that are, again, our business and industries feel that they need to do so. So it's kind of a win-win for everyone there. It is an investment from the state, but what you get in return is a population that's not so dependent on social programs because they're underskilled. You get workers in the workforce who now have a path forward to a living wage.
Yeah, wonderful. Talk about career exploration. That's all part of this, and you passed a piece of legislation. And for other people around the country listening, talk specifically about that piece of legislation and how others could pursue a similar path.
Sure.
Other states.
The whole concept is you have to have this vision that you start them thinking about their careers and paths earlier on in the process. When they graduate from high school and walk across and get their diploma, you've lost them. It's too late for most of them. So we passed a bill. Many states do this, that in our middle schools, they will get a semester of career exploration. And then when they start the ninth grade, then they have a career plan that is it's signed between the student, the parent, and the school. It outlines where they would like to go with their career and basically the path for them to get there. And it's updated every year as they go through the high school experience.
And there's some training for the counselors and in rolling this out. And it's just in its first year. Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out and the benefit of it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that is going on around the country has to do with funding formulas, you know, and that's a heavy lift. Again, you know, your role in the legislature, these are appropriations is what they really are, is a funding formula spits out an appropriation. Talk about some of your thoughts on how states can address that, because most states, if they have their funding formulas, are old and they were based on a system that doesn't exist anymore. And what they've done is they've just created Band-Aids and workaround, and in Idaho we would say baling wire and a pair of pliers, right, to kind of keep it together. But talk about, it's not as easy to come up with a new funding formula as you would think.
Well, no, because there's lots of people involved and lots of money, and you have a bureaucracy that has been in Idaho, I think, since 1992 or 94, somewhere in there was the last time. So really, it's just an effort to modernize our current funding formula, make it more relevant so the dollars are following the need, which specifically is the student, which I think is the secret. You really focus in education really to the student and their needs, not necessarily to the system.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the role of school boards, and I know we're kind of pivoting here, but you've done some work there, and you were on a school board. I was on a school board, right? And I think some people don't appreciate the role, and maybe even some that are in the role don't really appreciate kind of the responsibilities that go with that, or the important role it is in helping to guide the direction the board is or the district is going to go.
Well, that's a great question, and as you know, Tom, for years we have looked to teachers to solve our problems, not realizing and acknowledging the fact that teachers really are at the end of the chain of command, so to speak. The culture that's set, that they work within, and the constraints are set by their superintendents, their boards, and their building leaders. So the research that I look at clearly says that if you can change the build the capacity of school boards and help them understand their relationship with their districts and with their superintendents, that really then can affect change throughout the district. And we see that school districts who do that have higher achievement. I mean, there's a straight correlation there. The data does show that. So one of my, I guess, hopes as a legislator is to help build that capacity in school boards, help them. If nothing else, it helps enrich their experience. Many people who come to, they're good people who come to volunteer to be on a school board, but they don't come prepared. And there's currently no training required. And when you step into a space that has federal programs, HR issues, representation from the unions. These are complex issues that many people take years to understand, and you're asked to make decisions on that. So we want to give them a head start, provide more training and education in the effect to do two things: build their capacity and enrich their experience. And the third most important one is to build and improve student achievement.
Yeah, perfect. So, you know, you're just a couple months away from the next session. What do you anticipate seeing? And maybe not just in Idaho, although I think that would be interesting, but what are some of the trends you see? You go to conferences with other legislators from other states. What are some of the trends you see that are being discussed and issues that are rising to the top when it comes to legislators around the country?
Well, I see what I really like is, again, getting back to this loosening up and backing off from the strict regulatory processes that are involved in the education. I see us in Idaho, we're working right now to significantly pull back on the regulation that's associated with charter schools. We've got 30 years of runtime. We see how it works. We don't need a 400-page document. I'm exaggerating, but we can cut that in half. School choice will be an issue for us this year. It was front and center last year. It'll be there again. Charter schools. But I really see what I would really like to see is this visioning of what it takes to move the mark in education. And people understanding that as long as you keep writing that same process, you're going to get the same result. So it's a brave world that talks about change, but the leadership part of this and understanding the difference between leading education and managing education is the discussion that we need to have.
Great. Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question I just thought of. I think this could be very valuable for people that are listening. You're a state legislator. You've been a school board member. If I'm a state superintendent, right, talk about that relationship between a state superintendent who can't sign one bill or cast one vote and the relationship with the legislature. I was surprised when I was in office, the number of state superintendents that they were great leaders and they were passionate about their job, but they never really understood the connection between having a relationship with the legislature because of the important role they play. So if I was a state superintendent, what guidance would you give in how to work with the legislature and a chair of a Senate Ed Committee?
Great. I would start off with this conversation about the difference between management and leadership. And the leadership part deals with policy. And an example with us is we have weekly meetings, the two chairs from Education and House, with the state superintendent of instruction. And we talk about policy, we talk about direction, we talk about vision. And those are the things we talk about. That's the leadership side of it. So if we're going to affect change, you have to have those discussions.
Yeah.
And I believe that's where it starts. And we have a great superintendent right now that I'm just very proud of.
Yeah, great advice. All right, last question we always ask our guests here, Senator, is share with us one piece of trivia or information about Idaho that most people wouldn't know.
Well, this is related. There's two of them.
Okay.
One of them is we actually have a seaport in Idaho.
Yes, we do. Yes.
And related to that, most people don't know that we actually train the nuclear Navy on submarines in Idaho in the desert near where I live.
Yeah.
We've had three prototypes there for 40 plus years of the nuclear Navy in Idaho.
Yeah. And don't we have a real deep lake up north that they actually, it's supposed to be some military secret, but I think, but it's like one of the deepest lakes in the world, and they use military subs there and do a lot of practicing and stuff there.
That's anyways, Lake Pendere, they do sonar, deep water sonar stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, there you know. So there's three pieces of trivia.
There's so
for
much
folks
to know.
All right. Well, folks, we've been privileged to have Senator David Lent here with us from Idaho. He's the chair of the Senate Education Committee and been a long proponent and champion of education and a great citizen of Idaho. So thanks for being on Swimming Upstream.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for listening. And remember, our children may only be 22% of our population, but they represent 100% of our future. If you found this conversation valuable, subscribe to our YouTube channel and find us on your favorite podcast platform. Swimming Upstream is part of the Strategos Podcast Network. To view the entire lineup of our shows, visit our website, strategosgroup.com.